You know, you're an expert in the Bible code, and I wanted you just to take a few moments, Chuck, and kind of assess for us world events based on some of the things that you know are in the Bible code. I mean, it seems to me if one thought that the Bible codes were accurate, it's pretty uncanny what's starting to unfold now.
Well, it sure is, but one, I think to sort of reset the zero so that our listeners won't get confused, when people use the term Bible code, they typically mean what a particular code that's called an equidistant letter sequence. And those are the ones that are have been sensationalized. They're the ones that are very controversial. And we do cover them in the book, but the thing that I like to emphasize right at the outgo is that that's just one kind of encryption of
right.
many different kinds that are in the Bible. It's the one that's popular. It's the one that has been sensationalized. In fact, there have been many things that are quite contrived and quite exaggerated, and as a result, and obviously very controversial. So I want to emphasize that we don't really focus ourselves or limit ourselves to that particular arena, but there are discoveries that have been made about the biblical text that are really quite astonishing. In fact, the most interesting ones don't require a computer. They're pretty direct kinds of things. But we obviously have become very aware that there are that the biblical text, these 66 books that we casually call the Bible,
mm-hmm.
are actually an integrated message system. And what I mean by that is that it's not just a thematic issue, that there's a theme in the Old Testament fulfilled in the New, that sort of thing, but rather that the actual structure of the text is anticipatory. That is, there are structures explicit in the text and also hidden under the text that anticipate things before they happen. We have 66 different books that have been penned by over 40 different guys over a period of over 1,700 years that are integrated. It's an integrated message. That fact itself is startling, and one really has to discover that for themselves. But if you get that far in your understanding, then you get confronted with a second discovery that emerges from that, that if that's true, if this is an integrated message system I've just described, if that's true, then its origin had to be extraterrestrial. That is, it had to be from outside our time domain, because it anticipates history before it happens. And not just in terms of prophecies in the traditional sense, but the very structures, the very idioms are anticipatory. And so that's what causes, my technical background is really in the information sciences, and it's that aspect that has caused me to be very absorbed with this whole area of study. And as we begin to understand what I'll call, for lack of a better term, the classical biblical scenario, the anticipation of what the Bible seems to lay out as coming, what's astonishing is that we see history converging in exactly a kind of an arena. We have an organization that tries to monitor what we call the strategic trends, over a dozen of them on the planet Earth.
Right.
Each one is biblically relevant. Each one is one that the Bible touches on. And yet what we're discovering is that all dozen of these things are converging on that scenario that has been looked for by scholars for literally 19th centuries. So it's an interesting time to undertake a study like this, because as we watch day by day, month by month, year by year, it's quite astonishing to realize that we're moving towards the climax of human history.
Is it possible that this knowledge might have been obtained from time travelers? I mean, far-fetched as it may seem?
I don't know how else, using that in a broad sense, I can't see how else it could be assembled, because it anticipates things before they happen. And the history itself is laid out in advance. And so whether you look, in fact, time travel is opens up a whole other kind of discussion, but that would be one attempt to explain the text, you bet.
Now, one would say to you, though, Chuck, it's the Word of God. That's why we know.
Well, I happen to believe that's actually the best explanation we have, because because of a person that history centers itself on, namely the one that Mel Gibson wrote the movie about, and so that it is about a nation, its history, its origin, its ups, its downs, and its destiny. And out of that nation comes a person that has that is the centroid of history. But I would take that view very aggressively, that that's exactly what it is. But to many people that would be a very prejudicial perspective.
Let's go back to when these 60 plus texts were written. And if you would, Chuck, this is fascinating. Kind of paint a picture for us on who's writing them, how they're writing them, and what they do with them when they're done.
Well, first of all, let's take it really simply. There's a collection of 39 of these that we call the Old Testament. These are Hebrew scriptures that were collected in a variety of ways, but you get their codification pretty much about the 6th century B.C. But the important thing from a objective analysis point of view is these 39 books were translated from their Hebrew, from the original Hebrew, into Greek about 3 centuries before Christ's ministry. In other words, about 285 B.C., if you were Jewish in those days, living almost anywhere in the world, you probably didn't know Hebrew. You spoke Greek. Greek was the enforced international commercial language.
Mm-hmm.
And because of your desire as a Jewish person in those days to have your religious texts in a language you could enjoy, you would have preferred Greek. So in response to that opportunity, Ptolemy Philadelphus, the ruler in what was probably clearly the dominant literary center in those days, Alexandria, Egypt, impaneled 70 Jewish scholars to translate their Hebrew scriptures into Greek. And the reason I mention this particular documentation is because we have a number of copies of that work product. That is, we have the translation of the Old Testament into Greek.
Uh-huh.
That was finished about 270 B.C. The term for that document is called the Septuagint. That's a fancy word for just meaning 70. But the point is, that anchors a copy of the Old Testament in black and white, well documented by any competent encyclopedia, at nominally 270 B.C. Now, the reason I point to that, what's astonishing as we study those documents, they detail several hundred details of the life of Christ 3 centuries before he shows up in history. And so one of the most astonishing studies a person can take is take a look at the New Testament, the 27 books that emerged in one lifetime. The previous 39, obviously, were accumulated over
sure.
literally about 1,700 years. But the ones that we associate with the New Testament, which we have essentially the Greek original, virtually the originals, we have them within a decade or so of the actual events. The New Testament, as we look at the life of Christ, it's astonishing to discover that his genealogy is laid down in advance, the details of his death, in ways that were not even invented back until about 90 B.C. The crucifixion was not a form of execution. It was invented by the Persians about 90 B.C., widely adopted, obviously, by the Romans. But the details of Christ's life in the New Testament are so astonishingly detailed in the Old Testament that in and of itself is a staggering discovery as one gets into it.